You're listening to Free City Radio. I'm Stefan Christoph. This is edition 331, and you are hearing a special series of interviews on Free City Radio, which feature the voices of cultural workers in Mexico City. The series is called Transbordar, and it mirrors a zine that was launched during the Suoni Peri Popolo Festival in Montreal in June 2026, Voices of Cultural Workers in Mexico City. On the second edition in this series, I am sharing a conversation with Cynthia Garcia Leva, who worked for many years at the Casa del Lago space, which is a cultural center affiliated with UNAM University in a key park in the middle of Mexico City, which is called Chapultepec. Cynthia speaks about her efforts to bridge a more institutional cultural space with grassroots cultural efforts in the city, and, you know, talks about deep questions that really resonate with many in Mexico today, and particularly in Mexico City, which surround questions like gentrification and financialization of housing. Also the broader political context. It was really a pleasure to speak with Cynthia for this second edition of the Voices of Cultural Workers in Mexico City series on Free City Radio. So here is our exchange. It's a sensitive moment in Mexico City and Mexico generally right now, but Cynthia, we're talking to you in Mexico City, and you know, you help with a lot of the sort of visioning of programming at an important cultural space, really in the heart of an important neighborhood in Mexico City, which is the Casa del Lago. There's an outdoor space, there's an indoor space, there's a gallery space, and it's in the middle of a really important park, Chapultepec Park. So it's a very like sensitive moment in many directions in Mexico City in terms of one key question comes to mind is the sort of affordability point and the sort of like challenges that a city with a lot of international attention is facing, which is good and bad. So I would love to hear your perspectives on that. But maybe just on a simple point, we could just start. Can you introduce yourself, and also for people who are hearing this or reading this, just tell us what is Casa del Lago as a space? Thank you.
Thank you, Stefan. Yes, well, my name is Cynthia Garcia Leva. I'm the director of Casa del Lago, as you said, a pretty important venue for experimental art, sound, cinema, and other disciplines in Mexico City, and important in the sense that has been there for more than six decades, and it has become in part very important part of the contemporary history of art in Mexico and also in Latin America. It's a reference for a university space, a free space, all the activities are free entrance, and a pretty intense activity regarding all these disciplines that somehow connects different communities in regarding the international art communities and Mexican communities. So the interchanges between local artists and international artists are happening a lot there. We have many, many collaborations with festivals, embassies, universities, and many approaches from the governmental part, the university part, but also independent and underground collaboration. So that makes this space so special, and I believe it has grown a very loyal and interested community that attend things that you cannot normally see in the Chapultepec area just walking with your family. It's a pretty surprising programming for many people that visit also Mexico City for the first time. And it is also located, in regarding your first question, that is super interesting to me to discuss with you, because yeah, we are in a very particular moment talking about Mexico City and of course Mexico in general. So this place connects with an island, a museum. In the last year, along with the changes that the city felt, because Mexico City has been changing a lot in the last, let's say, 6, 7, maybe 10 years, but more profoundly after the pandemic, of course. And it accommodates its own space with along of other artistic proposals, say Museo Tamayo, say Los Pinos, say Castillo de Chapultepec, Museum of Contemporary Art, Anthropology Museum, all these places that are so well visited for international audiences and tourism, also connects with this university and more free and more inclusive space, or we try to do that. How to build an interesting connection with the rest of the art proposals in that area in the city, that is pretty touristic and pretty privileged area, and how to also still be connected with other communities in the city that are not that privileged and that we want to approach to. So what I was saying, you know, the city changed a lot, as you know. After the pandemic, we received a huge community, mostly of United States workers, informal workers that can be still working or getting paid in the United States, working and living in Mexico City. That changed a little bit, and it's getting more and more profound now, the costs of living and the way of also of the interaction in between communities. But also we had a different president, we have elections, and that also changed the panorama. And we had a new cultural secretary, the head of the culture in Mexico. So the internal political change, the city, the ambience, the dynamics change, and the cost of producing and consuming arts also change. So it's a very interesting intersection in between all these different levels of changing. This super extreme interchange, also the attention you were saying from international eyes looking at Latin America in general, and then specifically Mexico for the very important place that is located in this whole world, makes a more intense and vertiginous movement and travels, a lot of visitors, a lot of moving also, traveling, collaborations. But that is also a very important and big part of the community, the art community, that are not going better, but the contrary, you know. We need to say that Mexico City, for the local artists in general, lives a very precarious life. All the institutions are living this, a lot of cut in the budgets. So making exhibitions, paying concerts, producing any projects for the state and the university institutions is getting very, very hard. The local artists are getting almost no pay or super little pay. The cost of livings are going higher. But also you have Sonamaco and Salon Acme and Material Fairs, like super international fairs, and a lot of investment in the city. So it's a super contrasting terrain, and we need to accept that. And when you are thinking in programming and creating, this is Mexico City, it's not one or the other, it's this intense contradiction.
Thanks for sharing that, Cynthia. There's a few points here, well, there's many, but first, I would just say that, please, you know, push back on any element of this question that feels inaccurate, but I'm just going to put it out there for your response, because I'm genuinely really interested to sort of understand this a bit more. And I would say, just as a side note, I'm interested in recording this series of conversations and also putting it into a booklet format with the Suoni Peripopolo Festival that will be in June, because I see that there's a lot of artists traveling now to Mexico City. And part of the idea of having these cultural producers and organizers' voices is to just guard against a very basic point, which is the idea that this is a place for people to just put their own imaginaries on, but that there's an active and deep cultural life, which is obvious from the vantage point of Mexico City, but for people to have a bit more of a picture. The question I have, I get the impression that post Piñeiro, which was like such a time of intense violence on different territories, less maybe in the center of Mexico, but definitely it did touch the center. I got the sense that despite the challenges under López Obrador, there was a bit more space, especially in certain areas where people were just kind of doing their thing, maybe not with a lot of public support. And I know that he was cutting support for the arts, but with there being less crazy level, like violence in the middle of the city, a lot of kids just started doing stuff. Like that's sort of the impression I got in the last decade, that a lot of kids started forming collectives or having loft shows or, you know, forming. And I'm not saying it's like the government did that directly, but I wonder if that's to some degree because the situation sort of shifted, you know, like Piñeiro was sending like armed police units to go and try to snatch anarchists in San Rafael from their homes, you know, and these raids on Los Panchos and like this crazy violence against the left institutions. And it's not to glorify López Obrador, but I'm just wondering if that sort of signaled a shift, because what I noticed spending time there was that there was all these different like feminist arts collectives doing these DIY shows. A lot of them were connected to the feminist protest movement. There were more informal venues at restaurants, people doing experimental kind of showcases, pop-up galleries in people's apartments, house shows. And of course, like, that's not new. Like, I can imagine people doing that in a different way in the 1940s, but the scale seemed to have boosted in the last 10 years. Anyways, I don't know, but it'd be cool to sort of really get your sense on that, because obviously your vantage point is so much more informed than mine on the nuance.
I will try to put it. What I see are like at least three lines running at the same times and being influenced. What happened with the last president, with López Obrador, it was pretty against a lot of critics that we can do, of course, because in regarding culture, I believe it was very sad what it happened. But in the general terms, only in Mexico City, the stress of the narco war and the feminicides, just talking about Mexico City, of course, because in the rest of the country is different, but it felt less present. And it felt a more secure city. And statistically, yes, we had in Mexico City less violence and less, I don't know how to say, robos, in mano armada, thieves, no? We had more like suppressed violence, and that allowed the city to feel like it could breathe. In contrast with the north of the country, for example, that is having a heavy, heavy, heavy way of breathing, almost without going to the school or to work, because the violence is in the streets super strong. The Mexico City terrain maintains some peace, but also because all the more important dynamics of the city were focused in the center of the city. The same neighborhoods that we live and we work and we go to galleries, let's say, of course, Condesa, Roma, but also Polanco, Cuauhtémoc, Juárez, Escandón, San Miguel Chapultepec, maybe Coyoacán. So in that part of the city, it remains, and until now, I believe, a kind of freedom and a kind of a very pretty life for everybody that can allow us to be there. But what it happens also, at the meantime, I think it was the satellites of the city, the margins of the city, went more and more forgetting, Like no galleries open in there. If you go to Tlatelolco, if you go to Tepito, if you go to Iztapalapa, all these areas that are not in the touristic maps became more and more violent. Yeah, I remember 15 years ago, 20 years ago, the city opened this project called Faros. How do you say this light you put in the sea for captains to see? So the Faros were these cultural projects in the margins of the city to try to integrate also that part of the city into culture. So they have exhibition, cinema, workshops for people to enter to the artistic world, or kids to draw or whatever. These Faros, in the last, with López Obrador, were cut. The sponsorships, a lot of sponsorship that Mexico was very proud to have in regarding culture was also cut. And museums, as you know, and we talked before, what was cut. So, yes, it was a more freely city, but in a very delimited way. And in the margins, the violence has not stopped. And in the other parts of Mexico, neither. One of the things I really think it's amazing of the last government was, and that's a thing we need to recognize to him, is that he was trying also to think beyond Mexico City. That's also true. And to say, okay, Mexico City, again, is not the center of Mexico. Let's think in Yucatan, let's think in Morelia, let's think in Texcoco. And there is also things happening there, and let's think in patrimonial archives, and let's think in other ways of focusing in culture, no? And there is the other part I see, that is the women protest, because as you say, that I really agree with you, the sound scene, the experimental scene, the underground scene grew a lot in the last years. Also, maybe kind of in a response of what it happened in the country. It's like, okay, we cannot do it this way. We do it underground. We cannot control feminicides. We do a lot of feminist collectives. Let's think in the massive protest against feminist violence we had in the city, at least 10 in the last years. Super strong movement of women getting connected to Argentina, to other Latin American countries that are super strong in that part. And it was a response to the whole government that wants to keep that quiet still now. So it's just, again, like super contradictory. Some things are super good and some others are totally forgotten. And what I think it unites these two contradictions is a very good way we have in Mexico for improvisation beyond sounds. We really are used from very little kids to work with what we have. So I really think the politics of low profile or low technology and low budget and low housing and low everything get us in a way experts or advanced in improvising ways. So, okay, institutions cannot pay us, we do it at home and we charge 20 pesos to pay the musician. Okay, we don't know, so we open this gallery and we do this collective, and this is happening. And I really believe that the force of the art in Mexico City, because I cannot talk for the rest of the country, although there are many cities that are getting super strong. I say Guadalajara, I will say Yucatan, I will say Tijuana. It's amazing, it's super interesting, you know, they're getting their own scenes. But at least in Mexico City, the underground lines are getting like a feel of improvisation, and in a response, they organize in a way the government is not covering. That's also true. We see right now, I'm very proud with the new president. It's amazing that in a place, and we talked, you and I, last year or 2 years ago in my office about this, in a country with so much culture, so conservative in many ways, a very religious country also, we allow that a women president so strong, super smart, super brave, get into that spot is a very, very proud thing to be. I think she has a very wide vision of interchanges, international diplomacy, etc. But the culture is still a missing part. And that's also true to say. This year, we had another national cut budget. Museums from the state are completely paralyzed. But we receive a lot of international empresas and private institutions that can solve a little bit the view. But if you go to the downtown, if you go to Laboratorio Arte Alameda, if you go to Carrillo Hill, they don't have paper in the bathrooms. Difficult for artists, but artists knowing to improvise are getting organized in a very extremely beautiful way. So my point of view as a manager of a public area is I can feel as an audience one thing, but as a public figure with responsibility in government or in university, I feel we are missing a lot of the responsibilities we have with the artists, but especially with the artists.
Thank you so much for sharing all those reflections. And I just want to acknowledge the complexity of what you said, just for, you know, people hearing this who are more plugged into the dynamics in Mexico City or Mexico generally, you know, the acknowledgement of the demands of the feminist movement, you know, that you outlined, and also the sustaining violence that you outlined. It's a sort of moment where it seems that multiple things can be true, you know, and I also got the sense that you're not necessarily romanticizing artists having to find their way with little resources, but acknowledging that they've done that, which is pretty impressive. What I found really cool and interesting about Casa del Lago from the chances I've had to engage with the space is you're trying to build some relationships with these sort of initiatives of sort of independent collectives, and that's very meaningful. I'm just wondering if you could just talk a little bit more, you know, if people want to get a sense of culture today in Mexico City, just that choice you've made to engage with smaller collectives and try to create some space within Casa del Lago, and why that's important to you. And I can sense from your last answer how you're engaging with that question from a broader vision, or sort of, a dancing with the situation that you described.
I believe institutions in Mexico are getting pretty slow to get what is really exciting and happening in the streets, in these houses, private houses, in these new galleries, in these new collectives. Abandoned spaces are getting used, or bookshelves in the street, periódicos, puesto de periódicos are getting used as a super small galleries, things happening, of course, in social media, etc. And because of the bureaucracy has been maintaining their own structure to don't lose not only the building, but also the privilege inside that, the structure, is the bureaucracy has been so big that it goes like a dinosaur. It goes slow. Even when you have really nice directors in many, many spaces, because we really have a nice cultural managers here, I believe, in not only in the university, but in the state for sure. People with a lot of ideas and wanting to do, but everything goes slow. And from my perspective, what is happening in those streets and in those private houses is the most real, interesting, explosive, vertiginous thing. And if we manage to connect those worlds and to see, okay, this thing you are doing in your place, you can do it in this place that is not that much of money, but you can have at least a good infrastructure, a dignified concert, a good lighting, a good sound system, the production team is taking care of you, your payment is on time. add some dignity in your work, this same explosivity can connect with a broader community. This is what I would like to dream of, and it happens. I was talking before about this improvisation way of living that I believe is pretty Mexican. The other thing I will say is this super particular sound we, at least talking in music, we manage to get because of the same material conditions. I believe the sound scene, the art, at least in the art sound scene, that is Casa Lago, very particular point of programming, it's sounding this political material and a struggle. So those old violins, those old turntablism, those old machines we use, because of the same conditions, get a, like a new bright when you see it also as a poetic and politic way of thinking sound and producing sound. But for sure, institution, will this at least help a little bit for that sound to show it in broader scene and to support a little bit. But it's not a thing that, okay, we as institution can help the artists. No, artists are helping institutions to maintain the relevance they will need to do. Without improvisation scene, without art sound scene, what are we going to show? The same program all over again. You see Beethoven again every Sunday at Salanesa. Or with all my respect to classical music lovers, of course, but you cannot keep programming the same thing all over again. And so the institution needs the contemporary stuff, but for that you need to go to Venas Rotas, and you need to go to 316, and you need to go to Bacal, and you need to be involved. Maybe it's also easier for Casa del Lago because we are outside the main campus. That's also true. We are a little bit more free. We don't have rectoria in our neck. We are in the woods with own dynamics, and it's easier for, because as I was saying, some people wants to do it, but it goes very slow. Another advantage I believe that university can connect more with underground scene is that it is autonomous. And respecting the idea of autonomous, the autonomy for me is absolutely relevant. And this is another discussion that is getting now happening in Mexico. The relationship so close that the university has now with the government, it needs to be super applauded because in one way, because at some point in the pandemic broke, and that is, you are like playing in the same terrain but against, and that's not good for anybody. But at the same time, you need to take care of the autonomy. And this is a very political discussion now. Will be the university able to be so close to Sheinbaum and to the government, but at the same time to maintain their own lines and the relevance it has? Let's see. Let's hope.
That was a conversation with Cynthia Leva, a cultural worker who has worked for many years on the Casa del Lago Cultural Center in Mexico City, affiliated with UNAM. And this has been the second in a series of interviews that I am airing on Free City Radio called Voices of Cultural Workers in Mexico City, Transbordar, which translates to in transit or transition. And this is affiliated to a zine, which I worked on in collaboration with the Suoni Peri Popolo Festival that launched in June 2026. We broadcast every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on CKUT 90.3 FM, on CJLO 1690 a.m., also in Montreal, on Thursdays at 8 a.m., on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg on Tuesdays at 8 a.m. and Fridays at 1:30 p.m., on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston on Wednesdays at 11:30 a.m., on CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria on Saturdays at 7 a.m., on Met Radio 1280 a.m. in Toronto on on Fridays at 5:30 a.m. on CKCU 93.1 FM in Ottawa on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. on CJSF 90.1 FM in Vancouver on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. and on CHMA 106.9 FM in Sackville, New Brunswick on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. You can find our archives at soundcloud.com/freecityradio. We are also podcasts. Look us up. Just search Free City Radio. I'm Stefan Christoph. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll be with you next week.
You're listening to CJ.